Our text for today is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 19. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. These are the words of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You know, Paul is not an easy writer to necessarily understand, to pull apart the logic and the grammar and the way he ties things together. But I think we have a debt that is due to him. It was up to Paul in many places where Hebrew was not the primary language, and even among the Hebrew people, to put together the things that were known because of Jesus Christ that had never been known before, with language that had interpretations and understandings that did not necessarily comply with that. And it was up to him to reframe language around the things that people needed to know about faith, about the Savior, about God's plan throughout Scripture. And we owe him a debt. And he speaks to us in Colossians some very important things. Let me begin with a story. This is a real story. It is a personal story. My husband has a walking staff. It is a very nice walking staff. He purchased it himself to be a preacher's staff. And it's rather tall, but on the top of it, it has a compass. Well, of course, a pastor needs to have a sense of the direction that God is telling him to shepherd the sheep in. And impressed into the wood is a cross. Well, he's been having some difficulty getting around. In fact, he tells me he can hardly get out of bed sometimes. It just hurts too much. And he's been looking for this walking stick. Now, he has a couple of canes that would actually work quite fine. One of them had belonged to his dad, but those won't do. He had to have his walking stick. And he couldn't find it. For a long time, it had hung on a hook that's off of the mantle that is above a fireplace in our house. that has an insert in it that we sometimes use. But this hook was well away from that insert, so it wasn't in danger. But as I would move around and do things, it wasn't uncommon for that walking stick to knock against the wall. And the sound made by that walking stick was very distinctive, at least to me. So, the first time I went through the house, my memory of the last time I had seen it was that it was sitting in the corner in our house. And the memory was very clear. So that's the first way that I began to search. I searched high and low. Now, we're a one-story house, but there's a basement. High and low for this walking stick in every possible corner in our house. And it was not there. So there was a second search a couple days later. And again, I was checking out corners just in case I had missed one. But I was also mindful that maybe it had fallen to the floor or maybe even fallen and rolled under something. So I searched in depth for the walking stick and could not find it. Well, you know, I tend to be one that kind of goes ahead on my own power when I'm looking for something. I know that's a mistake. I know how faithful God is. But the third time, before I did anything in the way of a search, I prayed. Now, it's not unusual for me to pray to God about lost things. And this is the prayer that I pray. Father, I don't know where it's at, but you do. I pray that you will take it in your hand and bring it to where I will be able to find it. And you would not believe how many times God has specifically responded to that particular prayer as I pray it in complete faith that God is able to do it and God is willing to provide me with what I am asking for. So finally, I prayed. And then the next day, I began doing laundry. That was Thursday. I began doing laundry because we were out of some things. And in the midst of doing laundry, I had a pair of overalls that were hanging on a rack because, well, of course, they're cotton, and cotton has a tendency to shrink, and we do not. So I took this pair of overalls off the rack, and I took it into the room where Tom keeps his working clothes. Got a big bucket with all kinds of stuff and several pairs of overalls hanging on hooks. And as I was hanging the pair of overalls on the hook that seemed the emptiest, there was that sound. That sound. That sound that told me that that walking stick was against the wall behind his clothes. And sure enough, when I put my hand behind the overalls that were hanging there, there was the walking stick. And I'm kind of surprised because, you know, he's back and forth with those overalls all the time. I don't know how he didn't realize it was there. But I'm extremely grateful that God, this time, instead of showing me, showed me with a sound precisely where to find that walking stick. Praise the Lord. God is very good and faithful. Do you know there are a lot of lost things in our world today? That should come as no surprise to us. It's pretty apparent if we just look around us into the world at large that we've kind of lost our way. We don't remember what hard work is. We don't remember what accountability is. We don't remember that there have to be standards so that we can interpret what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. We don't, as a rule in our culture and society in this country, really have much of a sense of that. Donna, I bet you understand those things.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Anyone here who doesn't understand those things? I'm sure you got it from your mom, right? These things are important, but they haven't made their way into our general culture and society. And people who are like that are lost. And for what it's worth, Paul's writing in Colossians speaks directly to that. I'm very fond of Romans chapter 1, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which speaks to us about not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. I've always taken that rather seriously in my walk with the Lord. And in Colossians, what does Paul have to say? He says basically the same thing. He says, don't watch out that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For it is in Christ that the fullness of the deity is. The Old Testament tells us that our thoughts are not God's thoughts, and our ways are not God's ways, even at our best, as human beings. So when we talk about being the body of Christ, that really has some importance to it. And Paul has pointed us in that direction. So for what it's worth, when I asked you last week to consider being the body of Christ on the cross, I was trying to help you find a way to relate to this concept in a different way. John Wesley, if you've ever heard or listened to any of his sermons, he had a kind of pattern about the way he addressed things. And one of the things he would often start with was misconceptions. He would address misconceptions that people have about what the Scripture says. For John, the Scripture was always the most important thing. So we have some misconceptions about what is meant by the body of Christ. We often might hear that it means that we have to be the hands and feet of Jesus so that the work of Jesus can be done now, because Jesus isn't here. Well, first of all, that's wrong, because Jesus is here. If you haven't said good morning to Jesus yet today, you can do that now if you want to. Jesus is here. The Scripture tells us, where two or more are gathered in my name. Are we gathered in Jesus' name today? Jesus is with us. He is in our midst. Jesus is here. And let myself organize this again. So Jesus is quite able. Jesus is able to do the things that Jesus does. The power is with this, is with Jesus. The Scripture tells us that God told Moses, I'm going to get rid of all of the rest of these people that we brought out of Egypt, and I'm going to make out of you a great nation. And Israel was saved because Moses pleaded for them. And Jesus says, When the religious people are complaining because of all the praise that's going on, Jesus said, "Even these stones, if these were not here, these stones would praise." Jesus is quite able. The Holy Spirit is with Jesus, and Jesus is able. We have a privilege with our Savior that we get to participate in the things that Jesus does, in the work of Jesus. It is a blessing. We talked about treasures in heaven. You better believe it. Exactly. Treasures in heaven. We are privileged for that. Jesus doesn't need us. We are privileged for it. And another area that there's a misconception about has to do with the church. What is the church? It was Cedar Grove. It's a building. It's across from the state police. Down here I'm facing the wrong direction to be saying this, but in one direction there's WVUP, in the other direction there's Cheryl's Diner. And, you know, we're framed as to our geographic location for this building, the walls and the grounds and the instruments that we play and the electronics we do so people on the internet can see a service. all of these things are Cedar Grove Church? No. That's the location where Cedar Grove Church can be found, but the church is the people. And I don't want to add some kind of an offense into this, because I personally believe that places can have a holiness. So it's not that there's not holiness in this place, but it has nothing to do with the things. It has to do with the worship and adoration and the prayers and the answers to prayers and the bearing of burdens that has happened in this place at this location. And personally, I believe that that holiness remains even when a church ceases to exist or when it's not even there anymore. That the holiness continues and there is a call to return to this place of holiness where those things happen. So God is real. Now, you and I have general parts, right? We have arms and legs and feet and hands, and we have a head that sits on our body, and in these things we are physically complete. And we have five senses, and if I can remember them all, I always seem to want to leave one out. We have sight and hearing and taste and touch, and we have the sense of smell. And all of these things are really important. As a child comes into the world, they're really, really important. Because this is how a child learns about the world. They don't have that information yet. They need those senses to teach them. So we find our babies and our toddlers wanting to put things in their mouth all the time, because the sensation that they get from having something in their mouth is teaching something about whatever it is. And we have these brains that God has given to us. And these brains, they remember and they gather and collect the things that we have learned by way of the senses. They collect it all as data and storage in our brains. And they do thinking and analysis so that we can find some meaning out of the things that our brain contains. And our brain then sends the signals to, it's the head, to our arms and legs and feet and hands. But the scripture also tells us that God's thoughts are far above our thoughts. And God's ways are far above our ways. And we come into the fullness of who Christ is as the body of Christ, with Jesus as the head. That's where we are to abide. And it is the thoughts of Jesus and the memory of Jesus and the analysis and interpretation that comes from Jesus by way of the Holy Spirit from the head that is to direct our hands and our feet and our arms and our legs, so that we are doing the work that Jesus has given us to do from moment to moment in response to that head and not to the human head, the head that is of the world, temporal, and incapable of doing what Jesus did or thinking as Jesus did. So we have the Holy Spirit then to guide us, to lead us, to show us the way, to comfort us, to uphold us and lift us, to keep us held together, both individually as we are about being the body of Christ in this world, but also in connection with others who are doing the same thing. Each one with a part that we are individually called to do, with individual instructions that we receive from the Holy Spirit as the body of Christ, to do that thing. And the Lord works all of those things from all of those different places together for the good for all who believe in Him. It's powerful, my friends. We are called to a very powerful role. Now, mind you, Satan does not like this. The devil is very against it. I've known several people who came to the Lord, and I think maybe I was one of them. And not long after we came to the Lord, the powers of the demons and devils of hell might have been seen coming against us. The devil does not like it. But we are given what is necessary for us to overcome. So I'm going to finish with what I could have used as a kid's lesson today, okay? I didn't put the mic on. I need to stay put. I hurt myself last night. You know, as a mom, it was always at the end of the day when my daughter was asleep and the house was quiet that I did the chores around the house, pick up the toys and put them away so the floor was clear, and wash the dishes and do any of that kind of stuff that needed done from the day that we had just spent. Now, I still kind of lean into that habit, and I was washing dishes. And I had used a mandolin that I have to do slicing of zucchini, or not zucchini, but summer squash, the yellow kind, for supper last night. And it has, six or seven different blades, and they all fit together in this nice, neat package. But if you get one piece of it dirty, you get all of it dirty, unless you remove all of the braids except the one you're using, which I don't tend to do. And I was washing the one that I had actually used. And instead of washing it so that the sharp end was that way, I got it turned around. And I cut my finger on that blade. Cut it a good one. It was pouring blood. I was going back and forth through the house trying to locate whatever I would need in order to treat this rather nasty cut on the tip of my finger. I washed it with hydrogen peroxide and washed all the drift of blood with hydrogen peroxide to get it cleaned up. I used new skin on it, which still didn't stop the bleeding. And then I put, there's that fingertip Band-Aid that is usually too small, but at least it kind of protects all the area up there, and another one around it. And then I put a rubber glove on top of that so that anything that came from my finger was going to be contained under that bandaging. I redid that this morning. I got a boo-boo. It was my fault that I got the boo-boo. I knew better. And it hurts. In fact, it hurts all the way down my arm into my finger. And I'm not doing real well with a pencil today, because it hurts. Hopefully I'll remember next time which way to turn the blade when I have to clean it. But not all boo-boos in our lives are physical ones, right? The Holy Spirit is speaking to us all the time, and sometimes we just don't listen. And sometimes, even though the Holy Spirit is teaching us and speaking to us, we don't go the way the Holy Spirit tells us to go. We go our own way. It's very habitual. And the world is very seductive, my brothers and sisters. It takes a lot of work not to follow after the world. So we have other kinds of boo-boos, not necessarily physical, in our lives. And we can legitimately call those sins. Or transgressions, if you prefer. We think about the Lord's Prayer, we use that word. Or deaths, as it's said in some other versions of the Lord's Prayer. And praise the Lord, we have been given a very blessed healing for that boo-boo. We pray to the Lord for forgiveness for what we have done. It is a skill that we all need to have in our toolbox to remember that God is faithful to forgive. Now, in our New Testament scripture today, I love the passages that deal with the Lord's Prayer, and I don't think I have this transcribed into what I had put together. So in Luke, I love these passages that give us the Lord's Prayer, and there are two of them. When Jesus tells the parable, about someone who is a friend, and we've gone to that friend at midnight in order to provide hospitality, a way for a traveler, maybe, well, this was supposed to be a friend, a traveling friend, someone who is part of the Hebrew community, but not that particular Hebrew community. Always hospitality was to be given, a place to stay, a meal. Those were common, ordinary parts of that. And he goes to this friend of his and he asks him for bread. And the friend of his is too busy. He's busy in a legitimate way. Rest needs to come. And he and his family are in bed. And he refuses to get up in order to give an extension of hospitality to this traveling family member or friend. And Jesus says that's not the way it is with God. That's not the way it is with God. The persistence of this man would have been enough, of this person who was asking for the bread, would have been enough to call this person who would not give hospitality extended out of his bed in order to provide what was required. And if you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, you don't give a snake, you don't give things that are dangerous or not healthy for that child, how much more will the Father who is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it? And the Holy Spirit is the strength of the body of Christ. And it is the power of the body of Christ. Look out, world. And it is the strength and power of the Church of Jesus Christ as well. Praise the Lord. Amen.